All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Tuesday, September 13th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we are going to talk a full Tuesday slate of baseball as we come down from our football. I wouldn't call it a hangover. What's like a thing where you wake up the next day and it's good, but then you're still feeling something from the night before? It's not a hangover.
Yeah, you're not sure. Like maybe it's like a partial hangover, but you were out, maybe met a special someone.
You're hungover because it was fun, you know, not because your life is terrible. Anyway, We'll come up with a new word off air. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Here to help you build lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, Major League Baseball, obviously NFL as well. We'll be recording our Tuesday NFL podcast after this one, so plenty to talk about in the sports world. It's right now you can get a free trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab that helps you one button calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Still going hard for baseball season, and that package includes NFL projections and optimal lineups as well. It's all under one umbrella, free, and then free for a couple days, and then $29.95 a month after that. All right, pal, let's talk some Tuesday. It's always so funny because my brain gets pulled in different directions because I'm in sort of full NFL mode, but then baseball is still here and there's still plenty of value to be had on baseball slates. But It can be hard because you're NFL seems like this all-encompassing thing. And if you follow both, it can sometimes feel like MLB becomes sort of second fiddle to just in the sports community at large, and for obvious reasons. Is it easy or more difficult for you to still stick with daily MLB games right now?
I think it's actually a little easier just because there's so much dead money coming over from the first time football players who take a crack on Sunday, and it actually goes both ways. Either they win and now they have a taste and they want to keep playing, or they lose and they want to get even before next weekend. So
right.
Tuesdays in this week historically is one of the biggest weeks for daily fantasy baseball and one of the best weeks in terms of getting an edge. Because during the summer, late August, all that stuff, it's essentially just baseball grinders, people who wear the hats of minor league baseball teams, and people who just
or pros or DFS pros that do have a significant advantage over just players that don't have systems or just kind of making gut calls or whatnot.
And just have nothing else going on, right, other than the focus on baseball. So I think that especially if you're someone who prefers baseball to football, I know you're out there somewhere, this is definitely your time to really key in, use all that knowledge you've acquired during the summer, and make some money.
Now, I'm definitely with you there. Today's a very big day. There's plenty of big contests going up in MLB on both sites because they recognize this time as, for all the reasons that you mentioned, all that football money coming over today. Plenty of value. Let's get down to it. Starting with the pitchers on today's group of games. I was actually complaining to Chris the other day that I'm trying to minimize my use of the word slate because I feel like I use say slate 50 times more than the average. I definitely say it 50 to 100 times more than the average person, and I probably even still say it an unhealthy percentage amount of times.
I understand most people go years, decades even without saying the word slate, right?
Unless they're getting their driveway done or something.
That's what I mean. They're shopping for ornamental stones around their pool.
Right. It's just like me. It's like slate and value, and there's a couple other key words that I've just that all I say. Who are the pitchers we're looking at?
Ceiling on a barn or something. Yeah. What are you asking? What about pitchers?
We're really bringing it today. Maybe we are.
I think we're bringing it. Well, prepare for some knowledge to be dropped, some science, okay? As a great Dr. Dre once said, instead of dropping science, I'm dropping English. So
interesting.
Moving along, pitchers for the day. So I think a guy who's going to wind up being in chalk play today, just because we've seen this happen in the past when he falls into this price range, is Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray's got – it's kind of interesting actually because that is actually the highest total of the day.
I looked at this morning.
So just bear with me for a second. Robbie Ray, really what drives him on FanDuel particularly is the price. I mean, he's just so cheap. He's 8,300 for a guy who just struck out 12 guys in his last game. So maybe chalk is the wrong word, but he's going to be on a lot of people's radars just because it's tough to replicate that kind of upside, National League Park, all that kind of thing. And now I'll play the devil's advocate to that selection and say that Ray, pretty dramatically worse at home this season. A 351 WOBA allowed versus a 299 road WOBA. Normally, if you're talking about a pitcher in a park neutral context, that might not be that significant, but Arizona really is a pretty crappy place to pitch. So So it's a buyer beware thing for me there.
Yeah, I took a long, hard look at Ray's projection coming out of our system this morning because for that reason you mentioned at the beginning where you said about the total in the game is so high, and it is, and I just couldn't – there's a couple of things at play here. One is the Diamondbacks do strike out a decent amount against lefties this year, and so that is helping him, especially because he's in a
– You mean the Rockies.
I said Diamondbacks, yeah, man, this is not going to go down in the annals of our podcasting as one of our best episodes. the Rockies can't ton.
Again, I crushed it, by the way. Just let the record show that doing a great job on my part.
But look, my wife's been away for a week. It's just me, the kid,
and a bunch of excuses.
Me, the kid, NFL. It's been a whirlwind of a week. But Ray's strikeout stuff is elite. It's not just good. Yes. It's upper level elite. He's one of the very best in the league at striking players out. His xFIP is significantly lower than the ERA. So the ERAs are up 4.5, but he's got a 3.3 xFIP, which is in the well above average range, I would say. He has a lot going for him. I am worried that we're pretty bullish on him considering the game's implied run total, and this is about as high as I've seen a pitcher projected where the opposing team is actually expected to put up like 4+ runs with the Rockies today. And so that's the thing that has me a little concerned. I think our system's pulling out the K's on him as something that is going to give him a high floor, but there's some downside here, and you probably made the best point about him really is just the price, right? So 77 on DraftKings, that's nothing for that price tier for his K upside, and then whatever he was on, 8,300 on FanDuel. The price plus the Ks, like we've seen this with other pitchers. Like we talked about this with Pineda last week, right? Yes, there are scary things about pitchers like this sometimes, but when you have pitchers that have so much strikeout potential for significantly lower than the top tier players, you just kind of have to, you know, hold your nose and do it, I think. I'm following.
Though, right? I mean, I think that when you get into the arena of relying more on strikeouts than innings pitched, you know, because it's, I think most people maybe don't realize that innings pitched are what drive most fantasy rankings and totals because, you want to obviously do well in those innings pitched, but the fact that you just get points for showing up is really unlike any other position in daily fantasy sports that I can think of. So, the big risk when you're relying on strikeouts and not runs is you can get chased early, right? So currently, I think our innings projected on Ray are pretty reasonable. It's like 5.6, something like that for the day, or 5.7. Maybe that's a little high. I don't know. But not unreasonable at all. And if you think he makes it to the sixth inning, he's probably just the best play of the day.
And the way our system works, just for like the way that the bread gets made here, is that we'll have baseline projections for a guy, and then we'll apply, you know, multipliers based on what we think, you know, what the matchup or the park is helping you or hurting you. And we have there's a lot of things in Ray's projection that are giving him downgrades off of his initial projected innings, and so it recognizes these things. Like it recognizes the park, it recognizes the implied runs, and it's just still saying, maybe the strikeouts are worth it. I don't know. It's going to be close for me. There's a couple other guys that make it interesting, at least. But I think on DraftKings at 7,700, I'm just totally fine with some of the other pitching prices on some of these guys today. Like some of these guys, like Nova is 10.6. No thanks, right? Discofani is 10.3. I'm not sure if it's him or Dan Straley today. There's conflicting reports about who's starting. Pomerantz at 10,000. Like these guys.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Right. You're getting worse peripherals, maybe slightly better matchups, but you're getting worse peripherals for 3,000 more and 2,500 more. I don't think it's even really a question for me at that point. After Ray, I mentioned a couple guys I didn't like, although some of these guys kind of fluctuate between DraftKings and FanDuel. It depends on the pricing differences. Who can we take a look at after Ray in either in his sort of same price tier or maybe you want to go up or spend down? Who else is on, who else is on the radar today?
Well, I think the pretty clear one, if you're going up, you know, on either side, frankly, is Noah Syndergaard. Syndergaard is in a game with the lowest total on the day against the Nationals. And, you know, the Mets are favored. They're not favored, by too much. So he's not getting a lot of that win equity. They're minus 135 favorite against the Nats. It's really not a spectacular spot. The Nats have a lot of decent left-handed bats. But Syndergaard is one of those, you know, true ace's ace kind of guys and oftentimes worth spending up big. So I think, you know, if we're really making, when I called Ray a chalk play, Syndergaard would probably be the most owned pitcher on the slate, I would have to think.
I don't think so.
He's the most noteworthy and best pedigree of any pitcher on the slate, right? And there's not really another ace level guy. You don't think when the casual players show up from football that he just takes over that top slot?
He might. It's just the matchup is so bad, and I think people do recognize that the Nationals are a pretty good team, and so that's the only thing that I think drives him down. I guess he's not that expensive on FanDuel, less than $11,000, which is pretty much a deal for him. Maybe I sometimes like let our system inform what I think the rest of the public is going to do, and that's incorrect because we're looking at something that other people just don't look at. So I don't know. I don't think he's
going to be not the worst matchup. They're 12th in the league in WOBA against righties. They don't strike out a ton, but they're, you know, not too much worse than league average. I don't know. It doesn't seem like an awful matchup.
The money line for his price hurts him. So he's typically a guy that you'll find in like that -175 or higher range. And he's just not there, like -140 today. So, and 3.5 implied runs is actually not good for him, considering what his baseline sort of ERA projections are, and so other things. So, while 3.5 on the surface, like 3.5 implied runs for Syndergaard is much different than 3.5 implied runs for like Ivan Nova, let's say, right? In terms of how much someone's going to outperform their projections, like their baseline projections, and so that's the
thing that informs their price in most cases.
Exactly, right. Like Syndergaard's typically a guy you see right around 3 implied runs, and so just that extra half run does knock into his knocks into his overall value on the day. What do you think of Stroman? Stroman's a guy that the system likes a decent amount. He's sort of in that Robbie Ray price tier where you are not spending a ton on him. Is he a guy that you can make any case for? I mean, the system clearly does, but do you think it's correct?
I'm not sure. I don't think he's going to be someone anyone plays today just because, you know, people played him at Tampa Bay in a much, much better park and he burned them just a couple starts ago. I think that obviously moving to the Rogers Center is not a move in the right direction in terms of parks. So I don't think really anyone's going to wind up playing him. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not an interesting big tournament play, but just not a guy for me that I can consider for cash games in all likelihood.
Yeah, in terms of money line, he is actually the highest money line pitcher on the day. He's -190 right now. A lot of that is because of the Toronto Bats in this case against Smiley, who enters just the exact wrong kind of situation for Drew Smiley's pitching makeup. We'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to that when we get to the Toronto Bats. So a lot of the win expectation for Stroman comes from the fact that, and he's fine. He's just a fine pitcher. He's nothing special. The Rays will strike out a decent amount against righty pitchers this year, and so that helps boost him up a little bit. But his peripherals aren't anywhere near like the Rays of the world. He's less than 8 Ks per 9. But
the Robbie Rays of the world, not like the Rays themselves, the team that he's facing.
Apologies, yeah, the Robbie Rays of the world. Yeah, no, but Stroman's a good pitcher. 3.29 xFIP. He keeps the ball in the park. He does induce ground ball. So
he goes deep-ish. And, I mean, for a guy that doesn't top 100 pitches, like the last time he didn't pitch 5 innings was July 15th. So, I mean, it's not a terrible play, I guess. But, you know, again, we talked about this, I think, the last time I was on the podcast. But the fact that the win is a binary thing really affects Stroman quite a bit here. Because if you think you can count on those 12 points from the win, well, play the guy, right? I mean, that's going to work out heavily in your favor. But if he doesn't get the win, he's unlike Ray. He's not going to make up for it with the rest of his profile. So
What he needs to have go right for him, I would call him almost an elite ground ball pitcher, like 61% ground ball rate this
year. That's elite, elite, elite.
Yeah. I mean, so that is what helps him a ton. And it helps him go a little farther in games if he has it working because he can just have like 4 to 7 pitch innings. I mean, that's probably that's the rare case. But when you're that kind of ground ball pitcher, you can just get out of situations quicker because you just, you know, turn double plays, blah, blah, blah. So that does help him in sort of boosting up the overall innings expectation on him. I don't mind it. Actually, I really don't even mind on DraftKings just pairing them together. They're both pretty cheap, 9,000 and I think 7,700. And you're out of there with decent amount of expectation with some downside for sure, but without having to spend a ton for some of these other pitchers that I mentioned at the top, I don't mind going that direction. Are there any other guys that are jumping out to you here? And I mentioned a couple guys earlier that I didn't like, but I'm just wondering if there's someone that we sort of missed along the edges. I know we really only cover like 2 or 3 pitchers total.
Well, another guy people are going to have their eye on is Danny Duffy. He's kind of like a rich man's Robbie Ray in a lot of ways. You know, the true electric K upside. 18 strikeouts in his last 2 starts in just 11 innings. But obviously the downside comes from that second part, which is just the 11 innings in the last 2 starts. And really, you know, there was a stretch where he was going a little bit deeper into games, you know, where he went 9-7 and then had an 8-inning start in a 4-start stretch. But since then, the the Royals have really tapered their enthusiasm on letting him pitch deep into games. He's not touching the one teens anymore. He's really topping out at 100 pitches. You know, you, generally speaking, when you can choose between a pitcher facing an American League team and having to face a DH instead of a pitcher, that's oftentimes a pretty solid tiebreaker in and of itself. But yeah, Duffy's got upside like no one else on the slate probably. So he's definitely going to be someone that GPP players consider for sure.
Yeah, and Oakland hasn't really, I mean, Oakland is at this point just trotting out, you know, the Joey Wendells of the world to lead off and like Bruce Maxwell and Brent Ibott.
Does Joe Wendell go by Joey?
I don't even want to get started on it because it's like it shows up differently no matter where you're pulling data from. It's like Joe, Joey, Joseph. Do you say you're trolling me on the name? Yeah, so it's just it's so crazy that I had to work like an extra 20 minutes one day just like staring at the database, just being like, why are we do not have a projection with this guy? He's just like, he was like, yeah, Joe Joseph Wendell Jr. in one place or something like that. God, the naming issue. Okay, so anyway, the A's, they're just not a team at this point. They're just not. They have a couple guys, I guess, that can do a little bit of damage versus lefties, but on the whole, they're not a team that really worries you at all. And
yeah, Royals a heavy favorite, good implied total there. So, you know, I guess I could see him being a cross-format guy. I could see him being played in, you know, big tournaments and 50-50s by a decent number of people.
Yeah, I actually probably all things considered, like in that tier above the guys we were mentioning before, I probably like Duffy more than Syndergaard in this case.
Oh, that means we should ring the bell because it's probably time for a no halftime challenge, Doug. So no halftime challenge. For those of you who don't know, no halftime .com is a site where you can play one-on-one fantasy contests where basically you choose a player and a player that you think that guy will be better than and issue a challenge to the world. So in this case,
to the whole world,
to the world, dude. Oh, nice. People all over the world are using No Half Time's revolutionary app to play one-on-one fantasy contests. But so you could say, you know, I think Danny Duffy is going to be better than Syndergaard. You just use their really easy app, put that out there, and then the world has a decision as to whether it wants to accept that challenge or not. And you can also just troll around for other people's challenges that they've issued, and you might even get better value than that because all things considered, these guys are probably pretty close. But if you used promo code DFSR25, you can get a $25 bonus up to 100% of your initial deposit. So I think that's a good place to start. NoHalftime.com, DFSR25. So the no halftime challenge today, Doug, you think that Danny Duffy straight up better than Syndergaard for the day?
Yeah, I mean, we have him for about the same amount of projected points, but just for, you know, for fun. This is probably not something I would throw up onto the board on no halftime because it's so close. Like, I'd look for more of a, like, I'd look for, like, more of, like, a Robbie Ray versus some other, like, kind of bum in that territory. But for our purposes here, I think that this is a fine one. I'll take Duffy over Syndergaard. I like a spot.
And let's be honest, too. Like, just the fact that I'm offering it to you probably means that it's a losing proposition based on our no halftime challenge history. So
we do. So James and I, for those that don't know, James and I just have, like, a run. We've known each other for so long and have made so many just, like, sort of bets with each other that at one point I had, like, a document that we were sharing with each other that had a track of all. I got to look that up, actually. Because we've been making essentially like no halftime bets our whole entire life, but not just on sports, but like life things as well. I can't even remember an example.
Like who was going to have, which of our friends was going to have a kid first? Are we allowed to talk about that publicly?
We did have a pool. We did have a baby pool where we. I don't think any of our friends really listen to this podcast, so I'm not worried about it. But yeah, we had a pool at one point where we drafted all of our friends that we knew, and we had a draft and see who could have amount of baby who would have the most babies. That's actually still a work in progress. That's a living document right now.
You got your late flying sleepers. Right, we're in like our mid 20s there, and like your late sleepers. Like, well, this person's not in a relationship yet, but you never know.
Yeah, I think we did like 20 rounds of that thing too. It went
pretty deep.
I'm gonna dig that up, see where we are.
Our no halftime challenge. So you like the Duffy side. I get the case on Duffy. I think Syndergaard. I mean, for me, I will go into a deeper audit on the system as the day progresses, like we always do, but Syndergaard's innings looked a little low for me. Like, I mean, off the top of your head, who do you think should be projected for more innings on a day like today, Syndergaard or Duffy?
Yeah, Syndergaard. I have a feeling I know why, because I think it's probably giving Syndergaard a little bit of a downgrade because the projected runs against him are much worse than he would have in like an average matchup for him. And so right. The question now becomes if it's overdoing it in terms of that, like if he's projected to be so elite and when he's just when he's just had in a fine matchup or just like slightly below average for him, maybe he's getting too big of a downgrade based on that. Because like, yeah, I'm looking at it now. Like we have some other guys. There probably is actually an issue with his thing, so we don't need to talk about the system problems on the air. But I would say you're probably correct in that we are a little bit low on his innings, which will ultimately probably change my overall opinion of it if I find that there's an issue there. All right, let's move into the bats today. We mentioned a couple of teams before that have higher implied run totals on the day. The Diamondbacks are in there in a good park. The Blue Jays were a team we mentioned before against Drew Smyly. Where are we looking in terms of the bats today? Is it kind of concentrated between a couple of these teams that are looking pretty good in Vegas, or are we going to be all over the board?
You know, I don't think I can't speak to what the optimal lineups will be by the end of the day, so I don't know about that. But I think that you will see a pretty heavy concentration between the Diamondbacks and Blue Jays, particularly. I mean, the Blue Jays, this is really just one of those dream matchups. Smyly, fly ball pitcher, they're in their home park. They're obviously, you know, their right-handed bats are the ones that sell tickets there. So The fact that you can get Donaldson, Bautista, and the gang at their normal prices in their best possible matchup essentially is a very good thing. It's something I would recommend doing. In addition to that, the Diamondbacks, it's always weird taking hitters against Coors pitchers outside of Coors because obviously the Coors pitchers just generally look so much worse on account of having to pitch at home half their starts, you know? So yeah, Jorge De La Rosa, I mean, he's probably transcends the badness of Coors on some level, but you know, is not the worst pitcher in the world when he gets out of Coors. So worth noting that last time he faced the Diamondbacks, just 2 strikeouts against 4 walks in 5 innings. So it certainly seems like a solid matchup, particularly if you can grab the righties. Goldschmidt is your flagship righty, and Diamondbacks obviously, but very, very affordable, $3,700. Seems like a no-brainer. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Goldschmidt's going to be pretty much an every lineup guy at this point. If he's showing up there now without too many other things moving around or maybe cheap bats coming in, the Goldschmidt's a guy that will hang around probably throughout the whole entire day in lineup. Same with Donaldson and Bautista. Their prices are just ridiculously low on draft or FanDuel. Like Bautista hitting first or second against a lefty in Toronto at 3,600 is just no-brainer territory for me. Same with Donaldson at 41, really. But those three guys, Goldschmidt, Donaldson, and Bautista, I probably would, at this point, just call them every lineup guys because whenever you're getting this kind of point expectation on a bat that is that expensive, that's not the guy that the system's going to pivot off of, right? So it's going to pivot off, like, Mike Trout maybe at 4,000. Although if Mike Trout at 4,000, see, some of these guys are really so cheap.
Well, the thing is, when you play Robbie Ray or Marcus Stroman or whoever you wind up playing, you can really get in a lot of really good guys. You know, like you don't have to make a lot of sacrifices. So,
but even if you lock in, so I'm just going to do it real quick. If you lock in Syndergaard at 2,000 more, you still get Goldschmidt, Donaldson, and Bautista. It just does the work. It does the work in the other places, right? So it's like, okay, well, I'll just take out, you know, Mike Trout and make it some cheap bum outfielder who hopefully shows up at some point during the day, right? So those guys, it kind of doesn't matter who your pitcher is. Those three bats, I suspect for us, are just about full locks in terms of guys that hit the lineups.
I'll throw out another guy who probably will wind up being in most lineups just for kind of totally different reasons, right? And that's D. Gordon.
That's what I was just going to mention.
You know, if you can hold your nose and stomach the sub 300 OBP, and it doesn't seem to be bothering the Marlins, by the way. They keep letting him bat first, so I think that he's just a good value play. I mean, yeah, he's obviously got his warts as a player. He won't knock in a run maybe for the rest of the season and doesn't score a lot of runs because he does not get on base, but when he does, the steal upside is very, very real, and it doesn't take much. I mean, basically, he just needs to get on base one time for him to pay value, and I think he can do that. So
yeah, just him quite a bit. A note on Gordon, right? So almost any batter that's 2,100 facing anything in the way of a average to even or below average pitcher that's hitting leadoff is just a guy you should really heavily consider playing. Like, and so D. Gordon is a guy that has fantasy pedigree, we'll call it, just because can steal bases and has some other, you know, skills along those lines. But really, this could be anybody at 2,100 at second base hitting leadoff for their team. So that's where I just, like, I don't even care that, like, I know some people, like you said, you'll look at D. Gordon's stats and you'll say, well, you know, whatever. It just doesn't matter. Like, if you're hitting leadoff and you're free on FanDuel, then that why you would just do it if it was the Joey Wendell's of the world or whatever. You know what I mean? So sure. Like,
well, and it's late in the season for a baseball lesson here, but if you just compare D. Gordon to the guy he was in 2014, the peripherals are identical basically. I mean, he's got 4.8 walks. Percent walks in 2014 to 5.1 this season, 16.5 Ks percentage and 16.4 K percentage this year. The really only difference is the batting average on balls in play. And when you give up 44% of your total at bats or plate appearances, in this case, going from a 346 BABIP to a 307, that's a pretty dramatic difference. And the 346 is essentially his career baseline. 341 is his career baseline. So that's the season where he stole 64 bases. You know, and was a fantasy all-star, was frequently in the high threes. So I think that, you know, if you believe that this season's BABIP is not the real deal, that he's more like the guy he was in 2014, and I personally do, then it's an easy play, tremendous value. I mean, he should really be arguably 20% more expensive or more. So
yeah, no, I'm totally with it. I don't like Justin Bourque, like sort of in that same range, 2200 first base. He might be the only reason I would consider getting away from Goldschmidt, and that's really only if I like was deciding to pay up for like Duffy or Syndergaard, and even then, I'm not even sure it happens. But he's a nice 2200.
Yeah, he's a worthwhile guy to target, and if you want to like mini stack those guys for a big tournament, that's a great call.
Yeah, I'm all over that. And even and if you throw in like a Yelich too, this is like more of a tournament thing. But if you
Yelich, Bohr,
well, sometimes it's
right, Gordon,
well, but sometimes it's correct to like if you have like for tournament purposes, right? If you have these two guys that you see as really pretty extreme values, which I would say Bohr and Gordon are. It's okay at that point in a tournament to maybe overpay for a guy like Yelich, or even overpay for. You're not even overpaying for $3,000 for him. The problem with the Marlins is without Stanton, their lineup just is real bad. once you get down, there's a reason these guys are cheap, basically, right? So they cheap because they stink, and even like if a guy like Yelich doesn't stink, you get a huge downgrade when your team stinks. So you could be the best hitter, and if there's just never anyone on base, or your team's never getting the ball, running through the lineup to get back to you, it does cut into your value. We talk about this a lot with certain players where, well, like a guy like this will come up like this a lot as Freddie Freeman. It's like, well, why isn't Freeman in the lineup? I'm like, you know, why isn't Freeman's projection higher? It's got nothing to do with Freddie Freeman. It's got everything to do with his team sucks, right? So, like, if his team stinks and they're just not expected to get him five at bats, like if Freddie Freeman was on the Red Sox, he'd be a $6,000 player or something like that. Like he'd be in that David Ortiz range of price because he'd have so many more opportunities to go out there and actually hit the ball. But when you have a bad team, it just does hurt your overall projection. It has nothing to do with him. I think that's the thing that people just don't totally get sometimes is, why certain players' projections, even though their baseline numbers, their OPS looks the same, right? Or their OPS looks really good. Well, OPS is basically team independent. Like, you get your chances and you can do whatever you do with them in OPS, and you can have 1,000 OPS and still not have great counting stats because the rest of your team didn't do crap for you.
Well, exactly. If Bohr were on the Red Sox, for instance, his 870 OPS on a run bad BABIP, he would look like, you would never get a guy for anything close to 22.
He'd be like whatever Hanley Ramirez is. Like whatever Hanley Ramirez's price is. Like, that's what Bohr would be. So, like, this is the thing you need to take in mind. These guys sometimes are coming cheap because they're on bad teams, and that can skew their overall, performance upside. And it can also be why good players sometimes don't show up more often in projections. It's just because you just can't count on the rest of the guys pulling their weight when it comes to getting them, getting them enough at bats or getting them RBIs and whatnot. All right. Anyone else that we sort of missed? And we kind of focus a little bit more on the FanDuel pricing today than on DraftKings. Anyone standing out to you at all over on DraftKings today that you can grab, or is it kind of like the same sort of story?
No, yeah, it winds up being pretty much the same simply because when you get two teams that are so head and shoulders above the rest that it kind of wind up transcending the given price points on certain sites. So it's a lot of Blue Jays, a lot of Diamondbacks, and then, D. Gordon's still reasonably priced over there, although you could probably get away from him at 4,000 if he spooks you or if you don't want the overexposure. So Dexter Fowler's a really good value on DraftKings. He's just 3,800. Other than that, though, it's a lot of the familiar names from what we just talked about.
One guy that's showing up on DraftKings, and I'm made myself obligated to mention him, is Harper showing up at 4,000 against Syndergaard. Do you think this is a situation where we've just gone the system's gone off the rails? Harper's been good, so don't get me wrong. People, the tales of his demise were vastly overstated in terms of like people's feelings about him, obviously. But if at 4,000 on DraftKings against Syndergaard, are we just being at this point simply too bullish on a guy like him in that kind of matchup?
Potentially. The 4,000 price is really what's happening there. A lot of people just really have trouble separating the price from the performance. And in the 4,000 range on DraftKings. You know, other similar guys there are like Chris Davis, Stephen Piscotty, you know, Addison Russell. So that's really, you got to put it into context, right, when you're talking about a certain price. So he's showing up there. What the system is saying is, well, here's a great value guy. You know, it's going to be hard for Harper to be too much worse than his baseline, even in a very bad matchup. All that being said, facing a pitcher like Syndergaard really increases your variance quite a bit just because he does strike out so many guys. And even if Harper is, you know, he's not matchup proof. Nobody is. But if he's better than the average guy, and so he's depressed less by a great pitcher like Syndergaard, he's still going to be depressed on some level. So I don't highly recommend him as a cash game play necessarily, but I think he's obviously got tremendous upside. Should be a big part of big tournament lineups if that's a direction you want to go in.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. It's just so hard because it's not, I trust him in a vacuum, but it's a game thing where I'm like, well, 3.5 implied runs, a lot needs to go right for him, really for anybody in a situation like that. All right, I think we've hit everything we wanted to on for this Tuesday. Interesting plays at pitcher for sure. We've seen the bats for us. The value seems to be concentrated between a couple different teams. I personally like when days like this present themselves. I like when the picture is a little clearer early on because I sort of have a mindset of where I'm going to be going in terms of cash games, I believe. And we'll take a little bit closer look at some of our pitcher projections just to make sure those are all the I's are dotted and T's are dotted and crossed, however you write your T.
Some people dot their T's. That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, you say tomato, I say whatever. So we are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head over, grab a free trial to our projection system right now. We are live for week 2 NFL projections. We're still rolling hard with baseball. You grab it, you get a free trial, you take a look what it's all about, and then it's $29.95 a month after that. Buddy, we're going to go do an NFL podcast here, and I'll talk to you again then, and I'll talk to you for baseball again Thursday.
Just can't wait to keep talking to you over and over, buddy.
Awesome. Later.